You are listening to Through the Stage Door at the Majestic Theater on WMNH 95.3. We're a bi-weekly program that celebrates what's happening on stage at the Majestic Theater, as well as the musical sounds coming from the Ted Herbert Music School. For more information about the Majestic Theater or the Ted Herbert Music School, you can call us at 669-7469 or visit us on the web at www.majestictheater.net or www.majestictheater.net. TedHerbert.com. I got that right. My name is Robert Dyan. I'm the Artistic Director of Majestic Theater and the Administrator for Ted Herbert's. And in the studio today with me, I have Andrew Gibson. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
He is playing two roles, Jekyll and Hyde, in our upcoming musical, Jekyll and Hyde the Musical. We're very excited about that show. Before we jump into that, however, we always like to tell you what's happening. We are heading towards the end of our season and currently planning our next season. Our season, as you know, goes through July, a little bit into August. We do have one August event this year, and I want to make sure you get your tickets in advance for that. We have the Rockin' Daddy-O's in concert happening Saturday, August 17th at 7 p.m. at the Studio Theater here in Manchester. It is only one show. I can tell you tickets are going fast for that. So if you want to come to that, Rockin' Daddy-O's is a vocal group from the Lakes region, New Hampshire, gaining their popularity throughout New England, well-known for their great harmonies, known to include audience participation along with their stage antics. Fun group of guys. Join them and their band for an amazing night of doo-wop music that'll keep your toes tapping as we stroll down memory lane. Daddy-O's have been appeared several times at Mohegan Sun and several times throughout the area, and they sing all the male doo-wop and even some of the female doo-wop groups. It's going to be a great concert. It's going to sell out, no doubt. And I know that because tickets are already scarce. So if you want to go to that, August 17th at 7 p.m., it's a Saturday, at the Studio Theater on Page Street in Manchester, get your tickets in advance so that you can go, all right? And Jekyll and Hyde is what we're talking about today, though. Andrew's sitting there going, okay, when? Are you Jekyll or are you Hyde right now? Are you just Andrew?
I'm just me.
Okay, that's fine. I'm really excited today because the role of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is pretty, it's a hard thing to do. Really is. And Jekyll and Hyde, I'm going to say this several times so you know, Jekyll and Hyde is our big season finale for this year, for our 28th season, and it's happening in July at the Derry Opera House. So make sure you check that out. I'm going to give you the dates here. It's on my list here. I read them because if I don't read them, I get them wrong. Jekyll and Hyde the musical happens Friday, July 12th through Saturday, July 20th. There's five shows between those two weekends at the Derry Opera House. Call the Majestic Theater or go online for tickets for that show. And I'll tell you, it is a PG-13 show, so just going to make sure I throw that out there. Directed by Elliot Robert Owens, musical direction by Keith Belanger, and choreography by Anya Parrish. It's going to be great. This cast is like, hearing them rehearse, it's like, wow. But we have one person, or do we have two people in town, in the studio today?
I'm kinda, just one at the
just
moment.
Just one at the moment, okay. So, so Andrew, tell us a little bit about you, who you are, and what you've done in the past.
Well, I have been in New Hampshire all my life. Did a lot of theater in high school, right out of high school, and then kind of just dropped off the radar for a while. And came back a couple of years ago, just playing multiple small roles here and there. Mm-hmm. And
what are some of the roles you played in the past and where?
As far as recently, I started off just doing, I was in Christmas Carol, Joel Mercier's.
Okay, I was going to say, which Christmas Carol? Because there's so many of them.
The musical Ghost Story.
Up at Jean's Playhouse?
Yep. Where it was? It's great. We started off in Concord, and then it goes up to James.
Right.
Yep.
His adaptation is so great.
It's great.
It's
a lot of fun.
One of the best.
Essentially four different characters throughout that show.
Oh, fun.
It's a blast. It's just such a fun show to do, and doing that for 2 years now.
Yeah, because he does it, I think he does it every year in Concord and then moves it north?
Correct.
For a couple years he's done that.
Yeah, for the last 2 years we've done that. We started off at the Audi, and then we go right up to Gene's Playhouse.
And if you haven't been up to Gene's Playhouse, folks, you know, it is up there. It's up in Lincoln, which is not the edge of the earth. Believe it or not, there's still lots of New Hampshire left after Lincoln. But if you've never been to Gene's Playhouse, great, great work. Joel Mercier, who's the artistic director there now, is a Majestic alumni. He was a Majestic teen. He grew up on the Majestic Theater stage, and, you know, know, he's done some great, great stuff. Christmas Carol is just one of his many musicals that he's written, and definitely check that out. You know, if you want to see a Christmas Carol this fall that's different than all the others with brand new, vibrant music, then definitely check that out. I'm sure you can get information on Gene's Playhouse site or on the Friends of the Audie site. But yeah, that's great. So what other things? And then you were in a Majestic show recently.
Yep. I did the dinner theater show in February. Love is a Many Splintered Thing.
Okay.
Played one character in that, and that was a lot of fun.
But that was almost like several characters too, wasn't it?
And no, it was
several
just the
different
one,
scenes.
Just the one across, like, I think it was like a 10-year timeline.
Oh, geez.
Line, something
okay.
Like that. Yeah. So I mean, it went from like high school and post high school, and it was just a lot about breakups and relationships.
Oh, how would you ever know about that being just out of high school yourself? it's
I'm in my 30s now.
Well,
but,
I know. I'm just, if I say that you're young, it makes me younger too. So it all works out. Yeah. And Love is a Many Splintered Thing was, what a whirlwind. There was like, how many songs were in that? There was like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens.
I'd have to consult
of
Keith on that one.
Oh,
I lost track.
Oh my God. There was so many. And some of you saw that in our dinner theater performances. So that was kind of your first Majestic thing.
Correct.
So Christmas Carol, Love is a Many Splintered. What else?
I was Burt and Mary Poppins with RB Productions.
Oh, right. Okay. Adult one? Was that when Candace Getsulis was?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And she was a phenomenal Mary.
Candace Getsulis, another Majestic teen that now is doing great things. So we are very proud of our teens that have gone on to bigger, I wouldn't say better, but because I'm impartial, but bigger things. So you were Bert. All right, cool.
Yeah, and then recently wrapped up Mamma Mia with the actors.
Oh, that's right. I heard great things about that show,
it's
too.
It's a phenomenal show, great cast. Some of that cast is actually in Jekyll and Hyde as well. So
that's right. And the cast, for Jekyll and Hyde, I'm not going to read off, I did print all the names. I'm not going to read all the names because I feel like I'm going to forget some people, even though I have it right in front of me. But the cast for this show, I'll tell you, is absolutely amazing. I'm just blown away by not only the talent in the cast, but also the different places this cast comes from. We have some people that, no one has a home theater anymore, but we have people from Concord, we have people from Portsmouth, we have people from Nashville, we have people that do shows at all these different theaters have all come together to do Jekyll and Hyde. And that's why in the summer we try to pick something that's a little more different than what we normally do, just to kind of give people an interest in something different. And where next year is going to be no different. I already have the show picked. I can't tell you what it is yet, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But obviously, I'll give you a couple of the names: Jonathan Flower, Wayne Seven, Andrew, obviously Eric Schaefer, Karen McGraw, Bruce Williams, David Roppel, Matthew Hutchins, Kate Flower. I'm just going to read them all. Heck with it. Kelsey Ray Marrott, Daniel Shays, Lo Dillon, Colby Willis, Katie Griffiths, Colette Fortin, Katie Hickman, Allie Lambert. There will be a quiz on these at the end. Michaela Ray, Michaela Healy, and there's more. Amelia Hansen, Will DeMauro, Veronica Gikas, Pamela Savino, Kelly Laughlin, Jackie Wilburton, Lauren Starr, Heather Armhold, and Rebecca Herrera. Oh my. I wasn't going to do that. All right, but those are all the people on the show. I got to get this cast list on the website too so you can check it out. But there's a lot of people. But you actually, you play the role of
Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time. Well, kind of. I mean, it depends on which song you're listening to. But
so I printed out a few things, and I'm not going to read the heck out of guys, but I printed a couple of things that I thought were really interesting about the whole idea of him writing this. So obviously, it's based on the book The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. It was first published in 1886. Also known as, it's known as different things over the years, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Jekyll and Hyde. It is a story of a London legal practitioner named Gabriel John Utterson who investigates strange occurrences between his old friend Henry Jekyll and the evil Edward Hyde. The novella's impact is such that it has become a part of the language with the phrase Jekyll and Hyde entering the vernacular to refer to people with unpredictably dual nature, usually very good, but sometimes shockingly evil. Oh. And the first stage adaptation was brought in 1886 with a Boston author named Thomas Russell Sullivan write a script. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that at the time, after successful, it started in Boston, but then it moved to London. After a successful 10 weeks in London in 1888, Mansfield was forced to close down production because of the hysteria surrounding the Jack the Ripper serial murders.
Huh.
And they felt that it was like
a little too close
to home, and they changed it. The musical version of Jekyll and Hyde was actually, there's been so many different versions of this show.
It's definitely got its traction.
Yeah, it makes your mind spin. And I'm not going to get into that right away, but talk to us a little bit about the character of Jekyll and Hyde. I'll let you just pick. Pick one, and then we'll do the other.
We'll start with the obvious. I mean, we'll start with Jekyll. I mean,
he's the good guy.
Yeah, to an extent. Okay. I mean, he's definitely not a bad guy. His intentions are good. It's a classic, you know, case of, you know, good intentions. Everything happens with the best intentions, but goes horribly, horribly wrong very quickly. And, you know, he starts off, you know, his father is sick and dying. We presume it's dementia. We're not 100% sure. The script is not clear on what he has.
That's kind of good, though.
But it
gives you a little more to play with. Yeah, exactly. It gives you more to play with.
And as a result of his you know, dying father's condition, he decides that, you know, well, it's evil that causes these conditions and causes this wrong in the human condition. So he decides to create a formula to divide the two, essentially. If he believes that we can extract that from people, then people can live longer, we'll get rid of war. All of humanity's problems will be over in an instant if we can just split evil from humankind.
Boy.
And, of course, he's rejected.
I was going to say, I don't think that's really going to work, is it?
This being the 1880s, people are not exactly open to that.
I don't think they're much ideology. Open to that in 2019
either. They're probably not open
either.
To it now.
Well, Stevenson had long been intrigued, and this comes from Wikipedia, but I read that Stevenson had long been intrigued by the idea of how human personalities can affect how to incorporate the interplay of good and evil into the story. The novella is frequently interpreted as an examination of duality of human nature, usually expressed as an inner struggle between good and evil, with variations such as human versus animal, civilization versus barbarism, and sometimes substituted, the main thrust being that of an essential inner struggle between one and the other. How do you approach that? So you talked about Jekyll. Talk about Mr. Hyde a little bit.
So I think Hyde is... essentially, he's almost the extremes of Jekyll. So he's, you know, in terms of Jekyll's experiment, he takes it thinking he'll separate the evil. But all he does is essentially all of his, the inner desires, the things that, you know, that he keeps held back, the things that he keeps suppressed, all of that comes out and develops its own personality. It becomes Edward Hyde. And so Edward Hyde is all of the things that Jekyll would keep in check, whether it be, you know, the desire to just kill someone for no apparent reason, or,
yep,
you know, things like lust, things like anger. All of these things are expressed through Hyde. Hyde is the embodiment of all of these things.
So, and in trying to almost like repress that stuff, he's almost amplifying it.
Correct. And he amplifies it, and it it names itself and decides to go haywire, and it has all of Jekyll's memories, his intelligence, but no filter, no barricade keeping him away from others.
Thank God we have filters. You know, I always think of it, you know, like if I'm, and usually it's I'm out shopping or something, and you hit that one person that works retail that obviously hates their job, and you just want to like lash back. And I always think, okay, I just think of it, that's somebody's mother or somebody's grandmother.
Of course.
Or somebody, you know what I mean? And that's what just kind of makes you just go, hey, everyone has a bad day. It's okay, right?
Right.
You know, but I can't even imagine if people's filter, if we didn't have that ability as civilized humans to just kind of hold back from the stuff that you want to say sometimes, you know, and all that. But if you're joining us for the first time, we are listening to WMNH Through the Stage Door. Today we are talking about Majestic Theatre's production of Jekyll and Hyde the Musical, happening at the Derry Opera House July 12th through the 20th. Tickets at www.majestictheatre.net or 669-7469. And this is a PG-13 adult production, mm-hmm. So don't bring the little kids to it because they will have nightmares. And that's not what we want. So you have these two different characters.
Correct.
How do you approach that? Because sometimes, I mean, you have a number.
A few.
You have that one number that goes back and forth between Jekyll and Hyde.
That is called the confrontation.
Confrontation. Okay. Yep. Yeah. How do you approach this? How do you make the characters different?
So the biggest thing is obviously, I mean, this being live theater, we don't have like fancy Hollywood special effects, so we can't make me look like a completely different person in the blink of an eye.
Well, even the Broadway production didn't, though.
And even the Broadway production can't. One of the things we wanted to avoid, and we don't want to Hasselhoff the production either. Mm-hmm. Hasselhoff once.
And for those of you who don't know, David Hasselhoff, yes, that David Hasselhoff from Baywatch, did play Jekyll and Hyde in one of the Broadway productions.
And unfortunately, it's not one of the better ones.
It's not one of the better ones, but he had star power, so.
And one of the things that they did, and it wasn't just him, it carried on for a couple of different actors that played the role, is they did this bizarre whiplash motion where they would have, you know, the, as Jekyll, they would be looking upright, and then as Hyde, they would be looking downstage almost and whipping their hair. They would have this long black hair and they would whip it down.
You don't have long black hair.
I don't have long black hair. In fact, I'm sort of the
opposite of
all those other gentlemen who have played the role. So one of the things I've tried to do is, you know, and working with Elliot, we tried to do more of a physical embodiment, whether it be, you know, changing my dominant hand as Jekyll is more of a right hand, where I try as Hyde, I try to be more left-handed. And then as in terms of the changing, I try to maybe arch my back up a little bit, you know, make myself look a little bit bigger as Hyde.
And you're a pretty big guy to begin with.
I'm a big guy to begin with.
So it's
a little tough, but it works in the sense where it's vocal changes, it's mannerisms, it's posture. It's a lot of quick, very back and forth.
Give us an example of a line that you would say as Jekyll and a line you would say as Hyde.
So a line I would say as Hyde would be, you know, more of an inflection, you know, more just a simple standard British, you know, nothing too out of control, a very, very calm, quiet demeanor, whereas Hyde would have more of a grovelly nature about him, and a bit more of a sinister dialogue back and forth between one and the other.
And
Jekyll being more of a tenor and Hyde being more of like a baritone or a bass.
And that's another thing too with this is that this was written, the vocal ranges of this show are just like off the charts.
Yep.
You know, and I was actually involved in the very first production of Jekyll and Hyde at the Leti Center in Epping many, many years ago. And Wayne Seven, who's in the show, also was in it with me. I was Simon Stride.
Oh, excellent.
And Michael Coppola, who's, you know, a local actor who will be appearing on the Majestic stage again this fall. We're not going to give away what, would play Jekyll. And I just remember, and he's a great actor and a great vocalist, mm-hmm. It was a lot of work. I remember watching him going, oh my God, I don't know that I can do that at the time. It's such hard work of trying to know, okay, who am I at this point? And back then we did do it the way with the whipping the hair, all that stuff. And I just remember the confrontation just being like mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing.
Yep. So we will not be whipping the hair.
Okay, good.
Obviously. All right. We won't be doing that, but without, I don't want to spoil too much, obviously.
Right, no spoilers.
No spoilers. But I will assure that we are going to definitely keep you on the edge of your seat with it.
Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, we make sure we talk about who wrote it. It was originally conceived of the stage by Frank Wildhorn and Steve Cuden, and it features music by Wildhorn, a book by Leslie Bequies, and lyrics by Wildhorn, Bequies, and Cuden. After a world premiere run in Houston, Texas, the musical embarked on a national tour of the U.S. prior to its Broadway debut in 1997. Many international productions in various languages have been staged, including two subsequent North American tours, two tours in the United Kingdom, a concert version, and a revamped U.S. tour ahead of a 2013 Broadway revival. The musical, when it opened on Broadway, played for almost a four-year run and became the longest-running show in history of the Plymouth Theatre, closing after 1,543 regular performances in January of 2001. That's nothing to shake a stick at. 1,500 performances of any Broadway show. I was just reading how a couple of the shows on Broadway right now are closing after like 300 performances. One, I think it's King Kong, they spent like $36 million or something and they're not going to recoup it.
Yeah, and it's I think it's done as of this summer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and it's like, wow. But Jekyll and Hyde, it's funny, if you're not a Jekyll and Hyde, do you have any of the recordings? There's like 27.
I've heard a few different ones. The most recent one, I think, being Constantine.
Yep.
Yep.
Marillis. Yep.
Yep.
The American Idol guy.
Correct.
Yep.
He has a great voice.
Yeah.
He has a great voice.
I don't
voice.
Think I've heard that one.
The show is not.
Was that that was the 2013
correct.
Revival, wasn't it?
It was the revival.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And it was a different take. They kind of went a little, I guess, rock and roll kind of metal with
okay.
it. Okay. In some ways it worked and in some ways it didn't.
Because this is a rock musical, but it has
is.
That. Frank Wildhorn wrote music for Whitney Houston. So when you're here listening to some of the songs in the show, they're very melodic. They're very mm-hmm. pop rock ballad. One of the songs that he wrote for Whitney Houston was Where Do Broken Hearts Go? Everyone's heard that song. You know, and he's written a couple musicals since then. It's a musical called Wonderland that he wrote that's more recent that I just got the cast recording to. But it's interesting because I have, show my age, I have the cassette tape of Colm Wilkinson as Jekyll. Okay. Colm Wilkinson was the original Jean Valjean on Broadway.
Okay.
So I have the cassette tape somewhere in my hoard. I have the cassette tape of that show, and it was like the concept recording with Linda Eder and all that. But there's been several different recordings of it since then. And it seems like they keep reworking the show. And the version we have, I think it's the 2000, I think it's the original version. I'm not sure which version they license now.
So it's interesting. So it's a combination of different things. So okay. There are some songs, for example, in the song I Need to Know,
yeah.
There's a large chunk that if you listen to the original Broadway cast recording, that song is much longer.
Oh, okay.
There's like an additional chorus, there's an additional verse. Our version, it cuts those extra choruses and verses out. So
okay.
It's literally one verse. You know, a second verse, a chorus, a bridge.
So they're almost making it a little more mainstream for like today's listener.
To an extent, yes.
Yeah.
There's some dialogue that's slightly tweaked.
Okay.
Some things are not as consistent.
So it's definitely reworked since the Broadway production. So maybe it's closer to the revival version, really.
It's quite possible. There's more dialogue too. Some of the paragraphs of dialogue are a little meatier.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it seemed a little shortened.
Well, and I remember doing the show originally. Boy, it was like, I want to say it was like 2000, and Wayne and I were talking about this the other night. I want to say we did it back in the early 2000s, and it had just come out. And it was still, and upon reading this script, it was different than the script I remember. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like there was less dialogue in the one that I did. It was more like, song to song to song to song to song with a little bit of dialogue in between.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that they, like any Broadway show, I mean, not everything can be The Sound of Music, where it's just written, which is a good thing too, because, right. I mean, Sound of Music has its place, but...
Of course.
But, it's like, it's a certain... whereas a lot of the newer shows, they go through rewrites. They totally rework them. And as actually I saw in here, they're actually working on a movie version again. There's been a couple different movie versions they've been working on, and there's one that they're talking about now for 2019, which it's already June. We haven't heard it. So,
right.
But I'm curious to see if they do a movie version of this. I wonder if they put Constantine in it or if they go really dark with it or what they do with it.
I'd be interested to see who they cast. It seems like a lot of these movie musicals that are now making a comeback. It seems like they're on the rise lately.
Well, it's a lot different than it used to be. Like, they used to have a Broadway show and then they'd make a movie about it.
Correct.
And now it's the opposite. You're taking movies and they're making Broadway musicals out of them. And
Correct.
That's just a difference in the culture. And I always say, if it helps those Broadway theaters survive, go for it.
Of course.
There's certain shows, like there's a musical version of Ghosts. There's a musical version. There's lots of, and they're not
it's
great.
Hit or miss.
They're
it's
not
hit
really,
or miss.
Yeah, you never know what people are going to want to see, but it's nice to be able to have that difference. People that are my age are like, oh, we knew Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg. And now it's like, I'm like, oh, it's worth going to see if someone was doing it, So as far as the character of Jekyll and Hyde, you've talked about how David Hasselhoff had his take on it. Constantine has his take on it. Where does your interpretation fit amongst those, or does it not fit at all?
One of the things I try to do, especially with a character that's so familiar, that's been so played by so many different people, the one thing I don't want to do is try to, one, obviously copy what someone else has done. You definitely don't want to do that.
Right.
But one of the things I try to do is bring my own spin on it, factoring that I am physically and obviously visually different than
mm-hmm.
the other guys who have played it. A lot of them have been fairly consistent. I don't look like any of those guys. obviously I already have, a slight advantage there in the sense where I get to put my own spin on it because I visually look different.
Yep.
And then the second quality of that is just playing the character differently. One of the things I've noticed is a lot of people try to play Jekyll as if he's meek, as if he's, everyone pictures the timid scientist, and some people haven't done that,
mm-hmm.
but some people have. And so one of the things I try to do is Jekyll does have a confidence. He does know what he wants. He knows what he wants to accomplish. So I don't think he's cowardly at all. But I think that because Hyde brings some things out of him, there are moments, especially as we get halfway through the show, where you start to see a different side of Jekyll as a result of Hyde being an ever-present threat. So,
and it's interesting to play a character that's, like you said, has to be this way.
No, he's not.
If you're playing Daddy Warbucks, or if you're playing, even Rooster and Annie, or even like, Sky Masterson and Guys and Dolls, there's a certain expectation there of where the way it should be. And you have some leeway as an actor to play with it.
Right.
But it's sometimes, I find, more fun to be able to play a character that you can make more your own.
Correct. And that's one of the things I'm having a lot of fun with in this is Yes, I mean, the lines in the script are the way they are. The lyrics are the way they are. We can't, you know, one of the things that Elliot's mentioned, we can't change those.
Right.
But we can put our own, you know, an interpretation on that makes it make, maybe help it make more sense.
Yep.
And so one of the things that's been a blast to do, and I'm still learning as we're going, is that I can have a lot of fun with both the transformations, with interacting with the different people on stage. And what helps is that this cast is really, really amazing. Everybody is just so on point all the time.
I'm going to try. Really, we have really one more radio show taping before the show. I'm going to try and get some of those other people in on that day. You know, just to get some different perspectives on the show.
Of course.
Because you're right. It's just absolutely, you know, and we just finished The Man Who Came to Dinner. And I felt the same way. But I mean, we have a lot of great people that work, that do work at Majestic Theater. And I'll tell you, but I have to say this summer, I feel like it's been a gift from God. I mean, the cast we had for The Man Who Came to Dinner and our audience sizes were huge for that. And now Jekyll and Hyde, I'm thinking we're ending the season with really some great season finales, which is, you know, really, really good. If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Andrew Gibson, who's playing the roles of Jekyll and Hyde in the Majestic Theater production of Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, happening July 12th through the 20th at the Derry Opera House. For more information about tickets, you can give us a call at 669-7469 or purchase them on the web at www.majestictheater.net. Favorite moments as Jekyll or Hyde? What's your favorite moment in the show?
Ooh, so far, ooh.
I know this. You can name more than one. You can name more than
one.
I don't give them these questions in advance.
We're just now starting to get things like on
its feet
and moving, and it's really starting to gel.
Putting all the pieces together.
So there's a lot of really fun moments individually for both characters. Right now I'm eager to see how the Board of Governors looks, because that's such a, it's a good chunk of song and dialogue. And it's Jekyll having his moment and his sort of standoff with the board, which, you know, is, you know, probably not going to
go well.
But it's just, it's him sort of giving his sort of standoff with them. And that's a great moment for him. Obviously with Hyde, I mean, Hyde has a lot of really fun moments. Well, not so much fun for the people
involved, but
fun for him. So everything from Dangerous Game to, Murder.
I think, my favorite moments are probably Murder and Facade.
All the facades.
I'm thinking, and they're favorite for me, one, because of just the intensity of them, but also I hear you guys rehearsing those numbers and I'm like,
and they sound amazing. Entire cast is so on point with their vocals.
I'm sitting in my office going, oh, I'm in heaven. It sounds so good. And, you know, I have to get in there and take a quick video clip, shorter than the 30 seconds we're allowed, just to post online. So, you know, watch the Facebook page because I'll be posting some of that stuff. Mm. But it's really, the show sounds great. Elliot has a great concept. Kelsey Ray Marat, and I'm really sorry, Kelsey, if I'm saying your last name wrong. I'm very bad with last names. She's also playing Lucy in the show, but she's also designing the set, which is great because, she's playing kind of dual role on that. Matthew Morin's going to be our master builder for that. And I know that, you know, I talked to Elliot a little bit last night about his concept and what we're doing, and it's just going to be really interesting.
It's going to be unique, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see it because the stage almost is alive. The set's almost alive in its own way, based on what I've heard that's going to be happening with it.
And it's going to be nice to have a show, too. This show is going to really feature the talent of the actors and the vocalists in the show more than all of these special effects that we try to do that don't happen. So I'm really excited at the fact that we have a great cast. We're going to be able to highlight them through making the actors and those characters the focal point of what we're doing.
Correct.
And you can't do that on some shows. Some shows, it gets so caught up in the special effects and the production value, and it just becomes overproduced. And I'm really excited that we're kind of taking this and going, we're going to produce it. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great show. But we're going to really focus on those characters and the actors that are bringing them to life. And I think that that's going to make the show definitely the best. So thank you for coming in today, Andrew.
Oh, absolutely.
Fastest 28 minutes in radio, I always say. thank you for joining us today. Again, Jekyll and Hyde the Musical, happening at the Derry Opera House, presented by the Majestic Theater, Friday, July 12th through July 20th. Performances July 12 and 13 at 7, Sunday the 14th at 2. And then again on the 19th and 20th at 7. Go to our website, www.majestictheater.net. You can get tickets there, or I always say, save on the online fees. Give us a call, 669-7469. This is our season finale of our 28th season, and I can tell you it's definitely a show that is not to be missed. So thanks for listening, and as always, remember that the world's a stage, and music is the voice of the soul, and we will see you next time.